the collection of books that we find in the Bible, God's used picnics to teach us about who he is and who God wants us to be. And today we heard about probably the most famous picnic from the Bible, and I imagine of all time. But before we look at that amazing story, I want to go back all the way to the very start of the Bible. Because Adam and Eve didn't have a house, they didn't have a lovely pristine dining room table that they ate from. It was likely that they ate on the ground outside. And even then, it wasn't just Adam and Eve eating by themselves, they ate it with God. God created Adam and Eve for friendship with each other, and God walked and talked with them in the garden. And so it was likely every meal they had when they were sitting outdoors wasn't just a time to eat, but it was actually a time for them to chat and share with God. And I think that has great relevance to us, because we were created to be in a relationship with God. We were created to know God and for God to know us. We were created to be loved by God and to love God and each other. Each and every day, it's important to set aside time for us to make our friendship with God even more special. When we say grace or a prayer of thanks before a meal, we're then inviting God to come and join us, and we open ourselves up to God's presence. It gives us a chance to strengthen our relationships with one another, but also to strengthen our relationship with God. Another famous picnic that we've covered many times with the young people comes from the life and story of Moses. As I'm sure most of you will know, when the people were in need of sustenance, God provided. 6 days a week, every week, for 40 years, manna covered the ground. And when the people woke up, there was always enough food left for them. This particular picnic can help remind us of God's power to provide. But it wasn't just bread or manna that God provided. He also provided them with quail, a type of bird, and water when they needed it. Every once in a while, we're reminded about how dependent we are upon God. We only have to look earlier this year to Africa, or last year to the United States, to know that when there's drought, when the water runs out, the crops and plants cannot grow. We're reminded that we ourselves cannot make it rain, and we cannot make the crops and plants grow on our own. We need God, and we need God for every aspect of our lives. The picnic that the Israelites experienced every day for 40 years teaches us that we are dependent upon God to provide for us not only food to eat, but on everything, from the air that we breathe to the water that we drink. So we've heard about two Old Testament picnics, and now we come on to the story we heard today. Now I'm hopeful that everybody who is here is able to join us for our picnic over in Lime Valley after the service, where we'll be able to share lunch together. But if you didn't come prepared, then maybe the story we heard might be of some use to you. And we also have some spares. In the reading we heard, the picnic was necessary because the crowd that were following Jesus didn't seem to have a plan for a meal that day. It was getting towards dinner time, and they were far away from any place to eat. The people seemed to be so caught up with following Jesus and listening to what he was saying that they probably lost track of time, or they simply hadn't thought about their dinner. As we saw in the video earlier, when the topic of food came up between the disciples and Jesus, the conversation went like this.
He said we should give them something to eat.
Right, us. There are thousands of people here with what? With what?
How on earth were they going to feed everyone? They both knew that they needed a miracle. However, I don't think that even they believed that the packed lunch that one little, ordinary boy had brought along with him would be able to go around hundreds and thousands of people. That little boy dared to offer himself and all that he had to the man that they called Jesus. The boy had likely heard about Jesus, and he'd walked around 4 miles That's the same as going from here to the very end of the lake at Trentham Gardens, just to hear him speak. Now, I imagined when his mother sent him off that morning with a packed lunch in his hands, she never thought that he'd walk 4 miles and share his entire lunch with over 5,000 people. And yet, that's exactly what happened. That small basket, packed with his lunch, was taken, it was prayed for, broken apart, and then distributed. Jesus invited everyone to sit down in groups of 50 or 100 and gave it to his disciples to send out among the crowds. John 6 verse 12 then says, they had all had enough to eat. I think that's wonderful. They all ate and were all satisfied. And this story goes on to say that there were even 12 baskets of bread left over. This is the only miracle, apart from the resurrection of Jesus, that appears in all four of the Gospels in the New Testament. The four books that tell us about the life of Jesus. And the question that then comes from this is, what is so important about this story that it features in all four of these books? Why did the four Gospel writers all include this story? I believe that it's asking us to consider what we can offer to God. It's asking us to open our hearts to the need we see around us and to react accordingly. Whether that's helping out with the teas and coffees on a Sunday morning, with the kids' groups, or welcoming people. Whether it's getting involved with prayer groups, house groups, or other events. Or maybe it's responding to the local needs in the community or your workplace. It's also saying that we should be looking for the children. They're important to Jesus, and that we should be seeing what they can offer to further his kingdom too. Much like that little boy who gave everything he had in his small, packed lunch. What was special about the boy? Was there anything special? I don't think there was. There was nothing physically different about him, and there was nothing that led us to believe that this was staged or that he secretly owned a bakery. But there was nothing at all that set him apart from any of us. We're all ordinary people. We bring our ordinary hopes and our ordinary fears. But if we bring them before God, if we give everything that we have to God, he can take it, he can bless it, and he can do far more than we could ever imagine with it. We can be blessed, broken, and distributed. And like those five small loaves and the two little fish, we can find ourselves transformed beyond all hopes and expectations. Even though we might not have much, a little becomes a gigantic amount when it's placed in God's hands. The question to leave today with is this: what do we have to offer our Lord and Saviour? And are we prepared for how he might use us in all that we do? Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for sending Jesus into the world to show us how much you love and care about us in every way. We thank you for the stories that we get to read in the Bible, and we ask that you'll help us to serve you better in your kingdom, like the boy in today's story. Help us to share your love and care in our world today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing our final hymn this morning. It's wonderful to see so many people here, and it would be amazing if we were all able to share our picnic together in what looks to be lovely weather outside. We will be meeting on the grassy area of Lyme Valley at the top end by Buckmaster Avenue. I'm sure there'll be plenty of people that will be heading down that way, so we can somewhat follow each other. But if you're driving there for any reason, then the car park up there is the best one to go to. But why don't we stand now as we sing our final hymn this morning? And it's a wonderful song that reminds us where we need to focus our eyes, where we need to look for our help, as we sing, "Be Thou My Vision."